Warning, this episode contains beef jerky. As such, the levels of manliness escalated so high that not even our hardware could keep up. Therefore, there were several technical difficulties throughout the recording. We have done our best to patch and repair these, but we kind of have no idea what we're doing when it comes to audio editing. Please be patient and enjoy the episode.
Warning, the Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
And welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan, standing here, not in the studio this evening. We are here at the Beef Jerky Outlet here in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, in front of some of our favorite friends, right? Dave, this is going to be an awesome show.
I'm excited because this is our first actually live episode. So let's just all silently in your hearts, deep down, say a prayer for us that everything goes well and that God doesn't fire us from our mission, because
that would be embarrassing.
I'd be very embarrassed. But we're very excited to be here. Like you said, we're here at the Beef Jerky Outlet in Broken Arrow. It's over by the Bass Pro Shop.
That's right.
And yes,
I couldn't think of a better place to do their first Catholic Man Show live episode.
I agree, because I feel like when I heard about the Beef Jerky Outlet, I said to myself, you're trying to tell me there's a whole store dedicated to beef jerky, and I've never been there?
Right. That was my thoughts as well.
Like I wasn't born there or something?
And so when I got here, I realized there are they have this beef jerky down to a science, man. They have over 35 different flavors of both smoked beef jerky and, what was the other one, dried?
Dehydrated
beef jerky. So there's two different types, which I was not aware of.
I didn't know that either.
So, but
that's crazy.
35 different flavors. But Dave, not only do they have beef jerky, but they have a lot of other things. They have a lot of really great stocking stuffer ideas. Ladies, let me just tell you really fast. If you are looking for a stocking stuffer for your husband that's not a tie, that's not socks, it's not, you know, an undershirt, this is what you need to be getting.
Even though he probably needs undershirts,
he probably
too.
He definitely does. Let's be honest. But he would be more excited about beef jerky.
No doubt.
So.
No doubt.
Beef jerky, Broken Arrow, right by the Bass Pro Shop. It's gonna be a lot. That's where we are. If you're just now listening and you're around, come in. They have some great offers to offer you guys tonight. We're gonna be talking a little bit more about them in our next segment. And at the end of our show, we're going to try the hottest beef jerky that they have, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah.
We're strategically putting it towards the end of our show.
So we can
just
continue
in case.
To talk throughout right. the episode.
So, Dave, if this is somebody's first time listening to the Catholic Man Show, we do three things every episode. I'll let you tell them what it is.
Okay, the three things that we do every episode. Number one, if you guys know it, you can say it along with me. Open, review, and enjoy a manly beverage. Number two, we highlight a man gear of some kind. Today's man gear, spoiler alert, it's beef jerky.
Yes.
Okay. And then three, we have a discussion. Some have called it the manliest discussion of all time. Today we're talking about patience.
Mm-hmm.
First week of Advent. So just seemed like a good thing to talk about. But I want to get to the man beverage because I was shocked that there was a Laphroaig that we have not tried on the show.
I know. We actually went to the Council of Man Facebook group and we were asking, have we tried this one? And they said, no, we actually have a historian now.
Yes, I was about to say this.
Yes, Dave Pearson is our historian for the Catholic Man Show, Council of Man page. He has been keeping track of all of our stuff. So, Dave, real quick before we jump into it, you just tried it, but that's okay.
I jumped the gun. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I got excited.
When we tell people about the Catholic Man Show, one of the things we tell them is we drink on air. And we get a lot of mixed reactions about this, right? A lot of people... their eyes either pop out of their heads or they're like, yes, one of the two.
Right.
Why is it that we drink on air? Aside from we enjoy a scotch and bourbon.
Yeah, well, you kind of say like, well, why wouldn't you drink on air?
That's another good question.
Yeah, but we drink on air because God made the things of this earth good and they should be enjoyed for their goodness. And moderation, temperance is just not... not a prevalent virtue in our culture today. And so we thought, well, how about instead of just talking about it, we can demonstrate it on the show as a way of teaching or a way of really getting that virtue across by actually doing it. So that's probably the two primary. And, you know, we talk about temperance, moderation. Moderation, especially with something like alcohol, looks different for everybody.
That's right.
If you're Adam Minahan's dad, he can probably drink more than, you know, the rest of us.
Yeah.
Just because
maybe
he's,
combined.
He's
I
like
don't know.
Three times our size.
Right. He's a big, big man.
But for a lot of guys out there, a lot of men and women, alcoholism is a struggle in their life. And so for them, temperance means zero. And we give a manly. I don't know if it's ironic to give a cheers to that, but, you know, we salute
we
them.
We acknowledge
in
that.
Their,
yeah.
In their
because part of being a man
pursuit.
Is knowing thyself and knowing what your strengths and weaknesses are. And so by knowing thyself and knowing that, hey, I struggle with this and I'm going to avoid it because I struggle with it is a virtuous thing to do.
Right. So anyway, today we're drinking.
Whew, I feel good about that. I'm glad we got that out of the way.
The Laphroaig that we'd never tried on the show, the Triple Wood.
Laphroaig Triple Wood. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus. So... You already said I cheated.
You cheated, right?
I went a little early. To me, this is the, of all the Laphroaigs, this is the one that comes closest to rivaling the 10-year, in my mind.
I really like this.
They've got some other ones, but and they're all good. But the 10-year is like, that's where it's at. It's just the heart and soul.
Staple. It's the staple of Laphroaig.
Yeah, exactly. But this one... I don't know.
It is a great change of pace.
Because it doesn't lose any of that like manly aggressiveness.
No. So it's triple matured in ex-bourbon barrels, quarter casks, and finally a European oak to create a subtle marriage of peat, wood, and a touch of sherry sweetness.
I like that they throw the quarter cask in there.
Yes, I do too. So you actually do get, it is a little bit more oaky and woody.
Yeah.
Compared to the Laphroaig 10. But it, like you said, it doesn't lose its peaty and smokiness.
Mm-hmm.
And the finish stays long, which you and I both really enjoy a long finish.
Right.
So that's why I think one of the reasons we really like Laphroaig is because it stays with you.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't just quit on you. And that's something I really like. I like to experience, not just taste the whiskey, but like live it for 5 seconds. In my mouth.
it also has a little bit of a saltiness to it.
Yeah.
You can kind of catch the almost Islay salt coming off the water type of taste.
Totally.
It's really good.
Man, I'm going to have to go home and try the Laphroaig 10.
Just so
that I can do a relatively soon comparison, because this is super good.
It really is. It's a 48% ABV. So it still has that kick to it.
Yeah.
That Laphroaig people know and love.
You know what I'm really excited about doing?
What's that?
Is doing a whiskey beef jerky pairing.
Okay, I'm really pumped about this. And I did a little bit of research ahead of time. And did you know that in Rome, they do a wine and beef jerky pairing? Did you have any idea that they did this?
I had no idea.
I had no idea, but I figured, why are they not doing this with whiskey here in the States? I think that would be a phenomenal idea. But because beef jerky, like, you know, well, steaks and wine go really well together.
Absolutely.
You know, red wine and steak.
Yeah.
So I don't know why we wouldn't enjoy a nice scotch with some beef jerky. Especially like a peppered jerky.
Right, or a smoked jerky. You know, we talked about how there's dehydrated and then there's smoked beef jerkies.
Mm-hmm.
A smoky beef jerky would go awesome with this whiskey.
Absolutely.
Or really any of the Islay whiskeys or any smoky whiskey. So we're going to do that for the first time here on the show. And it's just going to be high levels of manliness.
Yeah, absolutely. It will be. Let's talk really quick about, we have just a little bit of time. Let's talk about the Council of Man really fast. We broached it just a little bit with David Pearson, but tell him what the Council of Man is.
Okay, so we've got a couple Council of Man members here in the room.
Yes, Kent, Vincent, Mr. Niles, Scotty Too Hottie. Who else? Anybody else? No, I think that's about it. Chad, right here in front of us. Yes.
So the Council of Man are a group of individuals, a group of men who want to support our show and support what we do. So they donate $10 a month. As a thank you, we send you one of our Catholic Man Show Glencairn glasses, laser etched with our logo with lasers.
Because lasers are manly.
Right.
And makes it dishwasher safe, which is a bonus.
Which one of you guys doesn't wish that you had a laser in your garage?
That would be pretty cool.
Right.
Zero of you, that's how many.
And they're dishwasher safe because dudes don't want to hand wash their glasses.
Right. But the Glencairn glass is made for Scotch whiskey.
Correct.
Made by science,
by
actually.
Science. Yeah.
Scientists. Yes. There was actually men and women that went to school studying science, got a degree,
and they made these glasses. Right.
To you we salute.
Yeah. And so also if you join the Council of Man, you get access to our private Facebook group as well as all of the private content we create, which is not the show. We try to do once a month, do something just for the Council of Man and record it. And so if you want to check some of that stuff out, go to thecatholicmanshow.com and join the Council of Man. Look for the COM button.
We are here at the Beef Jerky Outlet here in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, right by the Bass Pro Shop. Hang in there with us. We're going to talk about some beef jerky, which is the man gear. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan and about 30 or 40 of our closest friends at the Beef Jerky Outlet in Broken Arrow.
Including my wife and two sons.
Oh, yes. Look, your offspring is here.
Where's my daughter? Oh, right there. And my daughter, right there.
Dude, she's got some cheeks.
She does have some cheeks.
She's super cute.
I'm biased, but she's super cute.
Well, I can't say I disagree.
We're here at the Beef Jerky Outlet here in Broken Arrow, right by the Bass Pro Shop. If you are listening right now, come in and come hang out with us. We have a great little crowd with us this evening. It's going to be a lot of fun. They have some great specials going on. Dave, we're going to try some of this beef jerky, which I'm really excited about.
Yes.
But not only do they have beef jerky, here's what's really cool. They showed me this. I'm sorry, I had to get the box because I didn't want to say anything wrong. But they have these. If you like things other than beef, check out this. They have a box that contains elk, venison, buffalo, alligator, boar, pheasant, antelope, ostrich, duck, and kangaroo. How awesome is that?
Oh, I've always wanted kangaroo jerky.
It actually is.
That is amazing.
It actually makes me want to try some. It looks delicious.
Okay, well, I have another box. This is all beef jerky, but here's the flavors.
Okay.
Prime rib, which we're getting ready to try, which is right in front of us.
Yes.
Blazin' Cajun, original, sweet and spicy, teriyaki, slap your mama.
Slap your mama.
And boiled crawfish.
The slap your mama must be the hot one, huh? The super hot one?
I don't know, we're going to probably be trying? Probably. Blazin' Cajun's hot, too. So, right there, that one is...
This is the prime rib. The prime rib beef jerky.
I'm going to try the roasted garlic.
That sounds really good, too. But let me tell you, this prime rib and Lafroig is going to pair perfectly.
Mmm. So is this one, this one's dehydrated.
Yes, okay. Dehydrated. Are yes. they both dehydrated or are these smoked? These are both dehydrated. Okay. Absolutely delicious.
That's super good.
So I did a little.
It's exactly what you want out of beef jerky.
I did a little bit of research on beef jerky, which I thought was kind of weird before we came here, because it's like, you know, how much information can you learn about beef jerky? Turns out you can learn quite a bit about beef jerky.
Yeah.
Obviously, because we came in not knowing the difference between smoked and dehydrated.
Yeah.
So,
embarrassed.
I mean, we obviously knew that beef jerky came into the effect because they could not preserve the meat, right? They would all come in, hunt. They'd have a bunch of different meat that they kill, but they couldn't keep it over through the winter time. And so what they did was they decided to, in 1550 was the first time that they figured out how to actually dehydrate the meat.
Really?
With a bunch of salt.
I was about to ask if they just packed it full of salt.
Yeah, they cut it really thin, packed it full of salt, let it lay out, dehydrated it, and then saved it. And so what they were worried about also was the Native Americans. When we came to America, Native Americans going back over to Europe, that we wanted to make sure that we could feed them going back. And, you know, because all of their food, it spoils pretty quick. You know, and at the time, those journeys were like over 30 days.
Yeah.
I think actually Christopher Columbus, fun fact, I think he made it over in like less than 15 days at one point.
Wow.
But that's why they had impressive. To have the food, is because so that way it wouldn't spoil when they were heading back to Europe.
Dude, back in the day, when I was in high school, we got a dehydrator. And we're like, this is going to be awesome. We're going to make our own beef jerky. We're just going to be like deep in beef jerky.
Mm-hmm.
We might fill our swimming pool full of beef jerky. Who knows? We might go crazy. Turns out, hard to do.
Really?
Yeah.
Making beef jerky is tough?
Yeah, so we put the beef in the dehydrator, and we never did it good, ever.
Really?
We tried over and over and over again. It went from like still juicy to like 50-year-old piece of leather almost instantly. So like you had to just be ready and take it, you know, you had just know exactly when to take it off. But it just never worked. It was terrible. It was like so hard every time we tried to eat it. And we would check it, just not raw, it's still not dehydrated, all of a sudden bad. So I have no idea. I have no idea how they do it. But clearly there's got to be sensors involved. Anyway, just buy your own beef. Just buy beef jerky.
Just come to the Beef Jerky Outlet here in Broken Arrow.
That's what I'm trying to say is
yes.
Don't humiliate yourself like we did. Because my pride, as you can tell from my story, is still not recovered. And that's to this day why I don't cook.
So let's talk about, beef jerky, the reason why it's such a good camping food is because it's such so high in protein.
And you can like leave it out.
And leave it out and still eat it.
Like you can wake up the next morning, stumble out of your tent and sit in your chair and say, oh, what am I sitting on? Oh, it's my beef jerky. And you just start eating it. It's no big deal.
Right.
The beef jerky's fine.
Right. I absolutely love it.
It's like, I was going to say it's like the cockroach of food, but that's not a good image.
That's a terrible image.
I just mean that because cockroaches survive always. Like,
and they're high in protein?
Are they?
I assume so.
I wouldn't know. Never ate one.
I've had a chocolate-covered cockroach before.
I had chocolate-covered grasshoppers this year for the first time. There they are. They have them right here. It's the same box. Is that popcorn? Is that a... What flavor is that?
Bacon and cheese.
Yes.
Crickets. Bacon and
those
cheese crickets.
Those are the exact crickets I had. That is incredible.
Oh, my goodness. Bacon and cheese crickets. I don't even know what to think about
the
this.
The consistency is kind of like popcorn.
Like, really?
It just kind of like dissolves in your mouth.
Really?
Yeah. Eat one.
I'm a little nervous. Well, it's also like, you know, you kind of hesitate to eat
Man
one
show
on air.
First.
Okay.
Bugs on the air.
Bugs on the air. This is going to be really weird. Oh, he gave me like four.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers to Jesus.
This is a bacon flavored
cricket.
Cricket.
Right? Cricket?
Yeah,
crickets?
The grasshoppers are bigger.
Okay.
Cheers.
All right, cheers.
See?
Yeah.
Mm. Leg.
You got a leg?
Yep.
They're kind of like cheese puffs.
Yeah.
Similar.
Just don't think about the fact that
you're eating cricket.
Like, this was probably crawling on your floor at some point.
Yeah. That image didn't go well. Okay. So.
Yeah. I need a drink.
Yeah, I would like a little. Yeah.
Okay. So, man gear is beef jerky / crickets. That's a manly thing.
To eat beef eat crickets is. Bear Grylls would be happy.
It's very John the Baptist, yeah, of us here on the Man Show.
Ooh, good, good one. I like that.
Thank you.
Very John the Baptist. Although we don't have our attire on, thank goodness.
Yeah, I don't actually possess that attire.
I don't either.
So here is, oh my gosh, cherry maple smoked beef. So this one's smoked. So apparently the smoked ones, they're not.
They also.
Oh, these are like, yeah, they're like.
They're softer.
Like softer and almost juicy.
Mm-hmm. Dude, they also have jalapeno cheddar summer sausage, which I am just.
Oh my gosh, yeah. This is, yes. I've had beef jerky like this before.
But you just weren't
sure?
I
didn't know that it was smoked jerky. This is what I like.
You like this one better?
This is like, how fast can I consume beef jerky? This is the stuff. You can chew it and eat it. I could eat a whole bag of this in a minute, I'll bet.
Yeah, this is really good. This is like a... this is really good.
That's delicious.
It's... I know
cherry
it's not,
maple.
I know it's not like appropriate to be eating on air, but it's... I mean, we're here at the Beef Jerky Outlet, and they keep feeding us beef jerky, so if you were in our position, you would be doing the exact same thing.
People who don't like it are just jealous.
That's probably true.
That they're not here.
But yeah, but I can't tell you enough. If I was... You know, if my wife got me a stocking full of beef jerky, it's probably the best that I've ever received in a stocking.
Beef jerky, LED flashlights.
Those are the two things, yes. Maybe a pocket knife.
And a miniature flamethrower.
A miniature, like a Bic lighter, is that what you're talking about?
No, I mean like something more legit. I've never seen one.
A little.
They've got to exist.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not really
sure.
They
have to.
Yeah, but...
And so all of this is so good with this whiskey.
And like I said, they have over 35 different flavors. I mean, we've only tried a couple flavors, but they have over 35 flavors here. You guys got to come out here and check it out. I mean, it's like a full wall of different types of beef jerky. And spoiler alert, they may not want us to tell you this, but they'll give you a free sample if you want to buy some. They'll give you a free sample to try it because they're not going to let you buy a full bag without at least trying a little bit. So they'll give you a little taste to make sure that you like it before you buy it.
You know the real reason they do that? Is because they get to eat the rest of the bag when you leave.
Ah, there it is.
I'm on to you guys.
Brilliant.
Okay?
Brilliant.
I know what's going on here.
Yeah, that is brilliant.
Yeah, you want to try some?
Yeah, here, let me open it up for you.
Sure, you get one piece?
Yeah, one piece only. Yeah, that is awesome. Yeah, so, and like we said, not only do they have beef jerky, but they also have all these different sauces. They have barbecue sauces. They have
grilling sauce.
They have grilling stuff. They have all...
A pickled selection.
Yes.
Is that pickled asparagus?
They definitely have
that is pickled
gourmet
asparagus.
Sauces.
People, pickled asparagus has got to be the most underrated pickled item that there is. Because pickled pig's feet are weird.
That is very weird.
It's a thing.
It's a thing, though. I know. I've somebody's asked me if I wanted to try some.
And pickled eggs. It's also a thing.
Pickled eggs?
Yeah, dude.
That doesn't sound good at all.
No, but pickled asparagus is awesome.
Okay. When we get back, we're going to jump into the man gear. Our man topic. Our man topic is patience, because we are now in the season of Advent. We're here at the Beef Jerky Outlet here in Broken Arrow, right by the Bass Pro Shop. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. And welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. We are here at the Beef Jerky Outlet here in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, right by the Bass Pro Shop. A perfect spot to put a beef jerky outlet right by the Bass Pro Shop. Talk about knowing your demographic.
Yeah, I know. That's what I thought, too. Like, swing by, get your fishing tackle. Dude, I'll bet beef jerky would work as bait.
Possibly. Okay.
I feel like every carnivore is going to like beef jerky.
Okay, so I want to jump into our main topic because we have a lot to talk about today. But first, our drink was a Laphroaig Triple Wood.
The Triple Wood.
Which is delicious. Our gear today was beef jerky. And our topic today is going to be patience. We decided to do patience because it's the season of Advent.
Right.
Which is a time of waiting.
Yeah.
And Dave, I think it's interesting to talk about patience because as men, I think that this is one virtue that men innately struggle with compared to, I think it comes a lot more naturally to our female counterparts. But I think men in general struggle with patience because we're doers.
Yeah, I actually, this is something that I was gonna say this exact same thing, and I was even gonna start off the same way. So you and I are like
on
it's
the same
gotta
wavelength.
Be the beef jerky.
It's gotta be beef jerky. Yeah, it's
that
it synced us up.
Got us in line. But yeah, so I think it's because women are naturally receptive, mm-hmm. that they are naturally more patient, whereas men are the initiators, and patience requires letting go of being in control.
Right. Okay, so that's a beautiful thing to talk about. Okay, so let's talk about this. So patience is actually a sub-virtue of, can you guess?
Humility?
No. Temperance.
Okay.
It's a sub-virtue, according to St. Thomas Aquinas. Well, so I have it on good authority to say.
I trust him.
Yeah, that patience is a sub-virtue of temperance. And Balthazar, the theologian Balthazar.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so he had some pretty interesting things to say about patience that I didn't really think about.
Okay.
He actually says that patience is the pillar of the Christian life, which is interesting because, you know, you would initially probably think humility.
Or love. Yeah.
Okay, what he says is because the root word for patience means to suffer well, okay? And because patience means to suffer well, what is the symbol of our faith?
So like compassion, you suffer along with compassion, patient.
Yes.
Same root word in there. Yeah.
Right. And because the symbol of our faith, is a torture device.
Yeah.
You know, the cross is a torture device. So if the symbol of our faith is a cross, and patience means to suffer well, then it's clear, Dave, that patience is a virtue that is a must, a absolute must to be a Christian. So, in order to be patient, what it does is it's a willingness to surrender. And it's, like Mary's fiat is the saying yes. So patience is the willingness to surrender yourself and say, okay, not my will be done, but thy will be done.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So that's why he says that patience is actually the pillar of the Christian life, which is very interesting to me.
I find that this is particularly the case in the spiritual life. I think it happens to so many people. It's happened to me where you start to really take your faith seriously, and all of a sudden, like, I want to get holy now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to perfect all the virtues right now.
Why is God not making me a saint now?
I'll just do it right now. This is no big deal.
Right.
I'll just perfect the virtues.
Right.
And I've got like 5 minutes. That should be enough.
Ready, go.
Right. But once you try to do that, you quickly fall on your face and you realize that, you know, we have to receive, especially in our spiritual growth, is that, and often the times where we feel like we're not progressing in the spiritual life, those are the moments when we're really growing the fastest.
Right.
And so in those moments, it takes patience to handle your emotions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely it does.
I mean, it's like an emotion regulator almost.
And you know what's interesting also is that you have to look at, like, right now, it's very easy to look at our church and say, oh, man, there's so many things going wrong. You know, there's so many, like, our church is kind of in turmoil right now. At least some people can easily say, you know, pinpoint some things and say that. But you gotta remember that the church is over 2,000 years old.
Yeah.
So this very short amount of time is just a blip in the whole Christian life.
Right.
And so to try to say, just because maybe some things aren't going the way we think they should, or there's some issues that some people may be having, just because of what the church is doing doesn't mean that, oh, I got to start doing it right now. I got to fix it right now.
Right.
Because the church, you know, okay, Dave, when we were at Clear Creek Abbey, when we went to the camp out, you know, the monks gave us a different perspective on time.
Totally.
Tell them the story that the guy...
Okay, so... You know, we come out of this beautiful Gregorian chant liturgy, and we're there with Eric Grayless, and we're all, like, gathered outside going, like, man, that was awesome. That was so beautiful. And Eric goes, like, yep, they'll be doing that every day till the end of time. And it was just like, yeah, mm-hmm. they will.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so comforting.
Right.
In a weird way. I didn't even need to be comforted in that moment.
Right.
I felt pretty good already, but it was just like, like a warm blanket.
Well,
just
also,
knowing that they're going to be doing that. And so their view on, you know, time is just totally different.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, when we were talking to, Dave, when you and I were talking to one of the brothers there, he was talking about, well, you know, now that we have the new liturgy and all this stuff, and we were thinking, new liturgy? What does he mean, new liturgy? Well, he's talking about the post-Vatican II liturgy that was approved. And, like, to him, that's still new. You know, we're... what, 50 years removed from that? You know, so to me, that's like, that's not new. It's 50 years old. But to him, he's like, the new liturgy. You know, now that we're in the new liturgy. And it's like, you know, okay, so obviously my time perspective of what's going on is different than yours.
Right. Yeah. For a monk, 50 years is like nothing.
Right. And so they realize this, and they realize, you know, I think that they have done a really good job of, like, perfecting the virtue of patience.
Totally. Oh, yeah. I mean, it takes a lot of patience to pray all day. And that's what they do every day?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say patience, they've got that one on lock.
They have that one on lockdown.
Yeah, yeah. But one thing about, you know, we're here in Advent, we're, you know, waiting, patience. Being patient is not we talked about it being passive. It's more of a receptive thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it also has an active element to it.
Okay.
So waiting is not something that you just sit there and let happen. It's something that you actually do. Sort of like waiting tables. Okay, you know, you are sitting there doing stuff the whole time. And so Advent isn't just a time for us to, like, you don't just sit there and look at the clock and, like, you know, agonize through time. You take an active participation. Your behavior is different when you're waiting for something. Like, if you're waiting for an important guest, you might be going to the window. Are they here? Are they here? You know, your behavior at home is going to look different. You're going to be standing on ceremony.
Like cleaning the house and all kinds of other stuff. Because, you know, you're probably not cleaning the house on a regular basis anyway.
Just had a little bit of technical difficulty there. You know, being live, there you got to be ready to go at all times.
You just never know what's going to happen.
That's right. Especially... As you with my co-host, I never know what's going to happen.
That's true. Neither do I.
That's the non-comforting thing, is that you don't even know what's going to be happening.
Well, I do my best. I do my best.
So I think that it's very hard to, you get into this routine and it's like, especially in your prayer life, like, listen, I've been going to adoration every week. You know, I'm starting to get this, like, Lord, why am I not hearing you? Why am I not hearing you?
Yeah.
And I think that it's very hard as men to not hear an instant result or not hear, try to figure out why am I not hearing it right now.
Yeah.
But it's that patience. It's that, again, it's the not my will be done, but thy will be done.
Right.
You know, one of the really holy priests here in the Tulsa Diocese, Monsignor Gallus, told us one time, he said, you know, when you get to heaven, God's going to say one of two things. Either thy will be done or my will be done.
Right.
To you.
And that, yeah. And you're going to really be the one saying it.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, because you're the one who's
yeah. So either you're going to choose to send yourself to hell, or you're going to choose to do God's will and be welcomed into heaven, because He wants us all there.
Right. So it is a struggle with patience to continue building up this virtue. What's interesting is the difference between or the vice of patience. You know, there's a vice of patience. It's sorrow.
No kidding.
Yeah.
See, I think a lot of people would say sloth would be the.
Yeah, but it's sorrow, because there's a the sub action of pain is sorrow, and the sub action of what patience is goodness.
Okay.
So sorrow is the vice of what patience is, which is very interesting.
Yeah.
Not something that I would have thought about.
Yeah, me either.
But when we get back, let's talk a little bit more about like some practical things to do during Advent, and maybe ways to help instill the virtue of patience.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think it sounds good.
More on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm one of your hosts. I'm David Niles. Sitting here with Adam Minahan. At the end of this show, at the end of this segment, Adam and I are going to do something which is probably a bad idea. But we're going to do it.
But I'm pumped about it.
They just put Carolina Reaper smoked jerky in front of us. And it's not a little piece. It's a big piece.
Right. How much are you going to try?
I'm going to eat the whole thing.
You are?
Because I'm a man.
Okay, well, I'm good. I'm ready to watch. I'm ready to watch you. And then I'll decide how much I'm going to eat after I watch you.
And then
you.
I'm going to get a hairspray can and spray it next to my mouth and go, ha, and see if I can light
flame
it on
thrower?
Fire. Yeah.
Be a human flamethrower?
That would be epic.
That would be epic.
Oh, she's bringing us water.
Okay, thank goodness. Thank goodness. Bless you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you so much. If you guys don't know, we are here at the Beef Jerky Outlet here in Broken Arrow, a great place to get Christmas gifts. If you are listening from Oklahoma City or Edmond or Lawton or any of the other locations that we have, Enid, I think, is another one, any of the locations, this is the place. If you're coming in to see family over Christmas, this is the place to come. Come hang out. Get some stocking stuffers. They have some great deals. They have some... great Christmas gifts, great opportunities.
Buy two specials.
Yes, which is awesome.
Yeah. And like the ones we read earlier with the elk and the kangaroo and the alligator.
Yes, that sounds really good. I really want to try that.
Yeah.
It'd be really. I may get
I
some
too.
Before we leave. Okay, so we're talking about patience. Our drink today was Laphroaig Triplewood, something that is Laphroaig is near and dear to our hearts.
Still waiting on the sponsorship, Laphroaig.
Yes. We're getting close.
Where are you at?
They have retweeted us before, so they know that we're around, which is good.
Adam swooned.
I did. I was like...
They retweeted
us, and
he swooned.
I screenshotted it on my phone, and I sent it today, and I was like, this is the first of many steps to get them to
this is it. It's happening.
So, but we're talking about patience. Patience being because, you know, we're in the time of Advent. We're preparing for the Christ to come. The Word made flesh.
Yeah.
Patience is a tough thing for guys. But here's something that I was thinking of, Dave, in order to help instill the virtue of patience, or the sub-virtue of patience, if you want to be Thomistic about it.
Yeah. It's a virtue.
Yeah. I was just being more literal.
Sure.
Is that, you know, with Advent, it's a time of waiting. It's a time of preparation.
Yeah.
How can we instill something that helps us build the virtue of patience? As men, we're called to be the leaders of our family. You know, we're called to be both the spiritual and physical protectors of our family.
Yeah.
One of the ways that you can do this is by developing traditions within your family.
Yes.
And I think that would help.
I see where you're going. I like this.
You like this?
Yes.
You see where
I do.
Okay. So that is something that we can do in order to help build the virtue of patience is instilling traditions within our family. Example would be to light the first Advent candle and have a special prayer.
Right, because that gets you back to the active portion of your will. It's something that you're actually doing.
It's the act. Yeah, it is. Because by developing these traditions, it's helping prepare for that wait. Because sometimes the wait is, I mean, I think every guy can relate to a situation where it's like, okay, here in the future, I'm going to be able to do X. And it's like, it's built up so much that you jump the gun and you do it before you're supposed to.
Right.
Right. And so these traditions help you to build up to that moment and realize the wait is worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. So one thing that I think gets me with patience every year, I like to garden. It's like a new hobby of mine in the last few years. You plant your garden and then you want it to be ready. There, I planted it. All right.
Right.
Where are all my peppers? You know, I've had this thing planted for at least 20 minutes.
Yeah.
What's going on? But gardening is kind of one of those things where there's a lot of work you have to do before you can ever harvest anything, you know, but you come to appreciate that work and the anticipation and learn to, wait.
Right, because that's part of the patience is just waiting.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Also, patience, to me, is something that teaches you to live in the moment. You know.
That's a good point.
When you're impatient, I think that means we've lost sight of the work we're doing now. So you know that means you come to see. You know, you might be doing something hard, the work. Take children. Okay, you're sitting there, they're frustrating you, you're losing patience with them. And I think it helps to remember that the work you're doing right now is part of what God is calling you to do. Or, you know, let's say you're going on a mission.
Right.
Okay, a mission trip. And you're just waiting for it to like, come on, I'm ready to do this, God's calling me to do this, blah, 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 blah. And you forget that He also is calling you to be where you are in this moment.
Right.
And that this moment is valuable. And it's the only one you have right now.
Right. That's very interesting because, you know, I think every guy, you know, who's had kids can relate to this. You know, the 3 o'clock in the morning, kids screaming, and you're just thinking like, I just can't wait until they're like six and they're not doing this anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and you're just kind of looking ahead, just hoping, I can't wait until this happens. But what happens if you talk to your dad, like I talk to my dad all the time. About things like this, you know, reminisce, and what he says is, oh, if I could only go back to those points.
Yeah, that's what everybody says is like, you're gonna miss it, you're gonna miss changing diapers, and you're like, no, I won't.
Yeah,
you know,
bet me.
Like heck, I will.
Yeah,
you know.
But then you go and talk to everybody who's already lived that and said, you know, what I would give to relive those moments.
Yeah,
and so I think it is very important to let we gotta stay focused in what Christ is calling to do. Not tomorrow, but right now.
I think it's a sign of real holiness when you meet somebody who is able to do that, to live in the moment.
Mm.
Like, I forget who it was, but someone said, like, what would you do? The guy was playing pool.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do if you knew the world was going to end in 20 minutes? And he'd say, I'd finish the pool game.
Right. Because this is what God was calling me to do right now. Boom. There we go. I do think that is something that we have to, we as men, we struggle with.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I do.
I mean, I
struggle with it all the time, especially with my kids.
Well, I mean, I'm just ready for patience right now.
Yeah. This is the ironic thing. It's like, all right, God, give me patience.
Right now.
Right now. So I don't have to learn patience.
Right. Well, and that's the interesting thing that we talk about virtue all the time, but what is virtue? Virtue is the habit of doing the good.
You right.
Know, virtue is a habit, and if it's a habit, that means it's not a one-time act, but it's happening over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So patience, you have to do the little things that are to develop that virtue of patience.
Yeah, I know. And the more I thought about it, the more it's like patience is so ironic because it takes patience to learn patience. You know, like to develop the habit, you have to practice being patient.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you don't do that.
Right.
You know?
But when it all comes down to it, it really is the surrendering of self, and not on my time, but on the Lord's time.
Yeah.
I think that's what you have to that's what you have to remember.
So do you have a good example of a time that you were not patient, and then looking back, you know, patience is always most, you know, the value of it is always clearest in the rearview mirror.
Oh, that's true.
You know, when you're like, man, if I had only waited for another 2 seconds, this would have turned out just fine. Instead, I went too early and ruined it all.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, even tonight would be an example. You know, when we were getting things ready to go for this live event, it was like I was being very impatient with all of our equipment. You know, our equipment, you know, it seems like every time that we do a live event, you know, there's always something that you're always worried about. Is the equipment going to work? Is the internet going to work? Is, yeah. You know, all this stuff that you have to have, all these balls that are in motion, make sure that everything is working perfectly.
And then it works just fine.
But yeah. At one point, something wasn't, and you're like, well, what do we got to do? We got to do something. What are we going to do? You know, and...
Yeah. So something that I've been sitting here waiting patiently for...
Is this beef jerky?
To eat this... piece of beef jerky.
What's it called again?
It's right.
Reapers? The Reaper?
It's right here.
And you know
it's called the Reaper. It's made with Carolina Reaper.
You know it's serious because the owner of the store is pulling out his phone to videotape us. So you know that we're in for something.
And it's just smoked, so it's nice and chewy.
Okay.
This is what I like. This is the kind I like.
Okay. So I'm going to let you go first. Dave took a good old bite out of it.
So far, so good.
So far, so good. It's probably one of those things that haunt you.
Here it comes.
Here it comes. Okay, I'm going to try it. I took a much smaller bite.
That is good. It's delicious.
Yeah, it is really good. It is hot.
Mm-hmm. I am a big spicy guy. I'm taking a bag of this home.
I think that if you can eat jalapenos, you can probably eat this.
Uh-huh. I've never eaten a Carolina Reaper because I'm not stupid.
Right.
Straight, you know?
Right.
But yeah.
It's definitely
it's
doable.
It's definitely the spiciest beef jerky I've ever had.
I was worried that I wasn't even going.
No, thank you. This beef jerky, talk about a long finish.
It's almost like they were on a roller coaster. It's like click, click. Too bad.
What is this? She's got something else.
What does she have? Ghost peppers? Is that what it is?
You Reaper actually peppers. Have the Reaper peppers. No.
No, I'm out. So, anyway, we do want to thank the guys at the Beef Jerky Outlet for having us out this evening. What an awesome time it's been. Like, I couldn't think of a better partnership with the Catholic Man Show.
What's your website?
Website. BrokenArrowJerky.com. BrokenArrowJerky.com. Thank you so much to the guys at the Beef Jerky Outlet. Here in Broken Arrow, right by the Bass Pro Shop. Dave, it's been a great episode. Thank you for patiently listening to it.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.